Blog Talk Radio.
I'm picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitation. I'm picking up her vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year, and I hope everybody is having some very, very good vibrations. We have got a wonderful intuitive Reiki master coming on tonight to tell us all about how to communicate and hear our animals and to register exactly what they mean to us in our lives. And the fact that perhaps they've been around a lot longer than you thought. But before we get to that, I have an announcement to make. I have finally changed the name of my site. It was so complicated before with dashes and dots and everything else. So now it is simply this. http://, and it is choosepositiveliving.com. So much easier to remember. choosepositiveliving.com, and it is under construction in the sense that I've only just moved everything over, and so there are a few technical little issues there, but it is up and going. And as well as the True Colors program for you. The True Colors, your personal assessment to how you perceive your life and how you interact with people. Come and find out what your True Colors are. And I'm offering one free True Colors assessment with every full program that is paid for. So please go and check it out. My services have been put online for you. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You have access to me. And I look forward to hearing from you. Okay, so that is the announcement of that, which, believe me, has been a hair-tearing thing over the Christmas period to try and choose a name, but that is in order, so great. Many years ago, I had the most beautiful Border Collie dog, and I've always had Border Collies. That's my breed. It's my favorite. So I have this beautiful dog in South Africa. And she was such a wonderful friend. We actually took her over from England to there. And I was going through some little health issues, and actually there were emotional issues. And, you know, I'm one to always work things out myself and, you know, go and do everything I need to do the easy way. But I had developed weeping eczema, which is not a very pleasant thing. So I was actually forced to seek medical help in order to try and control it. Now, weeping eczema is a nervous reaction and that it escalates in stress. And because it's so utterly revolting, you get more stressful about it. So, you know, the doctors came up with what they did back in the 70s. Let's pop a pill. Have things changed? And no, you can take these pills. You can relax, you know, drive with them, lead a normal life. All it's going to do is calm you down. Well, that was not the case. He forgot to tell me that I thought I could fly on these pills and that I would speed through life with no control over my senses at all. I was high, indestructibly, with no care in the world. So at this state, I got into my car with my Border Collie, Candy, my beautiful Border Collie. I had no recollection of getting on the road that I was on. And it's the same stretch that nearly had killed me once before when I was on a motorbike with a friend. This is a beautiful road in South Africa in Cape Town. There's sheer rock to one side, a sheer drop down the rocks into the water. And there's a very, very tight bend that comes up that people pull off to have a look at the view. It's quite exquisite. But it also is a bend where a lot of people have driven off committing suicide. Well, I had no intentions of doing anything like that. But I was busy driving along that road, going too fast, and seemed to be not taking any cautions whatsoever. And that is because I just didn't feel there was any problem. So it was a Triumph Spitfire, 1968, a great little car. Roof was down, the wind was in our hair, in her fur. My Candy was doing her high, you know, doggy imitation. She sensed something that was wrong. So she looked at me, and she barked at me. And in a very joyful way, I started barking back at her. Then she put her paw on me, and I shook it. Then she took her entire body, and she threw it on me, literally threw her body on me. Now, this was a manual, unfortunately. The gear went out of shift, my foot went off the pedal, and we came to the edge of that cliff. So far onto the edge that I didn't even look down because I thought my tires were not actually properly on. Did I come out of that joyful high? Oh boy, did I. I crashed immediately. I don't know how long Ree sat there shaking, but it came to a real heavy realization that she had just saved my life. We would have been over that cliff. And not because I thought I wanted to commit suicide, but because I thought I could fly. How did she know? How did she know what was going on there and that there was danger? She'd been along that road with me many times before. And yeah, I was driving it a little more faster and more careless, but how did she know that that danger was coming up? And I owe her my life today, as well as her own. And it really made me think about animals and pets so much more. Just because they do not speak a language that we understand doesn't mean that they're any less intelligent. They rely on their intuition. They rely on their instincts. And they can speak to us in volumes if only we choose to hear. So I tell people about my miracle dog who saved me. And today I have another border collie called Kokomo. And she saves me in a different way. I've learned to listen to her talk. Because she speaks to me in different ways. Yes, it's those tilt of the head, but it's that touch. She knows when I'm feeling down and she comes and snuggles with me. She knows what my stress level is like. And, you know, unfortunately at the present moment, just because life has been a bit stressful in the last year or two, I try and cope with it the best I can. But, you know, it sometimes is there. And she's developed eczema herself now. Kind of ironic, isn't it? And it is, I know, due to my stress, and she has received that stress. So, you know, guys, when you're out there feeling stressed, yelling, doing a few other things that we're going to be talking about on the show today, remember that these beautiful, vulnerable, intuitive, and highly sensitive animals pick everything up from us. I got my border collie, in all honesty, to replace my husband when I got divorced. And this got me out walking every day, and it took me to coffee bars where I met great people. So she helped my social life, despite the fact that they actually know her as the smoking dog, because she likes to herd cigarette smoke. Very easy to find conversations with people with my Kokomo around. She's a true, true friend, somebody I'm very devoted to, who I know is very, very devoted to me. It is unquestionable, the love and devotion between us. And no matter what, as she's coming into her 11th year, no matter what, and I don't want to deal with that day, she will always be in my heart and soul, and I will always be in gratitude for her. So the wonderful lady that we have on today is a Reiki master, as well as being an animal intuitive. Monica Rizinger is an intuitive healer, and she connects through channeling with mediumship and telepathic communication to bring insight, balance, and meaningful messages from your loved ones. She has a very close connection with the animal kingdom, having 7 pets herself, and we will discuss this later, not at the beginning of the show, but unfortunately she lost one today, so it's brought it down to 6. She can provide insights into your pet's health, emotional state, and information on your soul contract that you have written with your pet. Interesting, isn't it? Monica also can tell you what past life connections you've experienced and that what you've shared with them. Pets mean more to us than just being cute and cuddly and fairy little things. They have a big heart and the wonderful reason that impacts our lives in so many ways, amazing healing ways. My Kokomo has been with me before. I was looking for a border collie, couldn't find one anywhere, couldn't find a breeder. I remember just putting on some post, anybody know somebody who's got a border collie? And somebody came back to me and said, well, there's this woman out in Aldridge, and she's got one dog left. But they're working animals. I went out to see this little puppy, and she left the pack. She crawled up into my neck and just cried. And the woman looked at me and she said, she's a working animal. She's going to be domesticated, but clearly she's yours, and she has been ever since. So, without any further ado, I'm going to bring on Monica. Hi, darling.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you on the show. And this has been a very popular subject. When I posted to everybody, you know, about having you on tonight, anybody who has an animal understands that connection. And anything that we can learn to communicate better or understand what our animals need from us is definitely embraced. So thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
You know, before we get into the talk, we actually do have somebody already in queue. So before we actually get into all about you, I'm going to kind of reverse things a little bit and give that to you a little bit later. But we actually have a lady called Linda who has a question about her dog. So if we can bring Linda on.
Okay, yes. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I actually was so interested when I heard that, you know, you were going to do this topic. And if I may, Sarah, I wanted to parallel very much so to Sarah that I had always wanted a dog my whole life, actually. I had begged for one, begged to have a dog as a little girl, and my mother kept promising me one day she would get me a dog, but never really had the intention of ever doing that. So that promise was never kept. At age 42, just as I had just filed for divorce, me as well, I went out and replaced my husband with a puppy. And I replaced him with a Cairn Terrier, who I named Toto. My daughter and I named Toto, and I was, of course, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. He was just amazing, and he was by my bedside, and I was crying. I was 2,000 miles away from home, going through a really dark time in my life, and he literally knew it, and I believe that he was sent to me. I found out, interestingly enough, probably about 2 or 3 years after, from an aunt of mine, not just from my mother, that when my mother was a very little girl, someone brought home a little Pomeranian, and the Pomeranian was named Toto. And the first week that they had that dog, they had gone out into the country. My mother came from a large European family, and within a week, the front door was open, the dog ran out onto the street and was hit by a car. So it's very interesting that my mother never told me the story, and even when I asked her about it, she almost looked at me like it had never happened. That was kind of a past life thing that I thought was really kind of odd, actually, and never really paid too much attention to it. I am extremely, extremely attached to my dog. So is my daughter, and the three of us live together. In the past year and a half, I decided to clear out a lot of, like Sarah, a lot of old emotional stuff and old wounds, and I was doing an awful lot of releasing. And towards the end of last year, he, at 13 years old, was diagnosed with cancer. He had a huge big lump on his hip. He'd always been an extremely healthy dog, and I just found it was really, you know, kind of very odd. The story for now is a good story because we now have him home and it is low grade, and the vet has had given him a really great prognosis. But this dog is just like probably anyone else's dog. When they say the dog looks at me and through his eyes, I know he's trying to tell me something. And I totally feel so. He tends to want to go under my bed and sleep under my bed. I try every which way to get him out of there because I feel as though he's picking up not only my energy, but all of our energy as well. And it's a very very interesting story because I know that there's so much more with this dog. And I just, he never barks. He never makes a sound. He's an angel.
Can I share something with you?
Yes. Okay. Definitely. I was going to ask a question, but I'd prefer maybe you respond. Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, go ahead and ask your question, and then I'll start. Go ahead.
Well, the question was when it comes to mortals and humans, I've studied a lot of Louise Hay, and I understand the symbolism of, you know, cancer, and I believe he's for sure taken on all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Has he? Question. Okay.
So that's your question. Has he taken on your stuff?
Yes, because I feel intuitively that he has, that this is just not random that the cancer just came out at the end of the year after I'd worked a year with energy healers and doing a lot of releasing. And that comes up now.
Okay, well, let me go back to your mom's promise of giving you a dog, which never happened, and her having this dog, Toto, that she had, right, when she was young and she didn't remember to tell you that she had that Pomeranian?
Right.
What I get is that the reason she couldn't go forward and give you the dog was it hurt her to realize that that dog ran away and got hit. She had some guilt around that or some grief or some loss around that. So she couldn't bring herself emotionally to get you the dog because it would have triggered that memory for her. So that's that.
Okay.
So it was more so she was protecting herself from pain and hurt instead of giving, you know, the daughter the promise of a dog.
Right.
And when you mentioned that your dog had cancer, what kept popping up was arthritis. When I see the lump, I actually, is it on the left side of the hip?
It's the right hip.
It's the right hip, okay.
That hip is right here. Oh, my goodness, I'm embarrassed. I think it's the right side.
The right side?
Wait a minute, you're so smart.
What side?
Right now he's under my bed, and I do think it might be the left side because I kept saying, I was thinking, is it like the, you know, as in a human, is it feminine or masculine side? I was really thinking human being, like thinking like myself as a woman. It's so interesting that right now. It's his right hip.
It's his right hip. Okay.
It's right.
So right side. But, you know, what I'm getting is whether it's cancer or not, I'm picking up arthritis, and arthritis to me, because he could have a bit of both. He could have, because he's 13, and it could start with, you know, arthritis first and then turn into cancer or something. It's just a weak joint. But what I'm getting is arthritis is a symbol for being stuck. Is there some part of your life where you feel stuck still?
Oh, yes.
So that's the symbolism.
Okay.
With the lump, because it's a manifestation. He's saying, look at this, and I'm going to show you this through manifestation of a disease. And don't feel guilty that your animal has cancer. Whether it's your fault or not, whether it's your emotions or not, is not important. Because he chose and you chose a soul contract before you both came into existence to teach each other. And so the lesson that he's trying to teach you is he's trying to bring you the most love through showing you, don't be stuck anymore.
Absolutely.
Go through that final heart-wrenching thing or whatever that you got to release and just step out of your own way, whether it's speaking your emotions or speaking your truth or talking about the things that are the most sensitive to you that you feel like maybe you'll be judged or maybe someone will leave you if you mention this. But your dog is trying to teach you to be fully open. And so that,
I love
that.
Okay.
That's what it is. And see, the hiding, the symbolism, I get chills talking about this, and I get really excited because you're hiding, he's hiding.
Under my bed. Okay.
So you're hiding from something, you know. So to go into that through meditation or through self-exploration, and I think you're very intuitive and you get it. You're already getting it on
totally.
A very high level. And your dog is just channeling that to you. So it's a boy, right?
Yes.
So just bless him, give him a good kiss on his head, and say thank you, sweetheart, for your lessons, and I hear you, and I'm going to follow through, and I appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and just give him love and healing, and, you know, just because a dog is given a diagnosis, I mean, always get a second opinion and always hold positive that, you know, he's healthy and happy and fine, and...
Wow. Thank you so much.
By you actually choosing to put your energy on him in healing him, that circular energy coming back to you. And sometimes it's hard for us to energize in healing ourselves. But, you know, we have such a connection with animals, so and they are a reflection of us. So, you know, by you healing him now and giving him all that love and attention and positivity and energy, it will reflect back on the healing of you.
It is so interesting.
Yeah.
He never, even when he was a puppy, would allow me to have. He's not a lap dog. He's a terrier. He's Scottish terrier. He's very independent. And in the past week and a half since I've had him home from the hospital, I can literally have him lying down in his bed, and I can't stop just stroking and petting him. He doesn't want me to stop. He won't let me go. And I found that so bizarre. I thought to myself, what changed? This is like a complete 360-degree turn for a dog that really doesn't like to be coddled.
Look in the middle. Yeah, well, mirror, darling. What has changed? How much work have you been doing in the last few months? And you're ready to embrace not only yourself, but be embraced back. So, reflection.
Yeah. I'm working on the integration. Yeah. Thank you so much. This has been, like, really so enlightening. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Monica.
Oh, you're welcome. And just so you know, this dog was meant to be yours from the get-go. So he was reincarnated back for you. Absolutely.
Right.
And you'll see him again. He'll always be around.
Right. Thank you so much. I do agree.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thanks, Linda,
yes.
Darling.
Happy.
Thank you, Sarah.
Happy blessings.
You too, darling. Bye. And that's actually a real big point there, isn't it? Is that, you know, when we look at our animals, their stress and, you know, their behavior, it's the same as with a child. If they're playing up, it's generally a reflection to the environment, and that environment is caused often by us. So it is interesting, the, you know, the entire reflection there. So if we see something up with our animals, maybe we need to be looking at ourselves, hey?
Yes, and I do want to touch on that a little bit because children are tape recorders and so are animals, and they don't have any other choice but to watch our emotions and our energy going up and down, and they look at us and they're like, wow, she had a bad day, or he's totally stressed out, or wow, they're angry again, or they can hear it, they can sense it, because in their world they don't have the choice to go, hey, how's it going, bud? All they do is reflect on electromagnetic fields and, you know, eyebrows rising and eyes popping out, and they feel our blood pressure rising, and they can see by the movement and maybe pick up heat from our body, but they can sense, and that's how they deal with it in the wild. So, I mean, they are constantly giving us information and feedback, and for us to look at that and go, okay, I need to check my anger, or I need to calm down. So there are little gauges.
Lots and lots of gauges. So let's try and hit on a few different types of animals. You know, one thing that I'm afraid I don't understand, and, you know, this is no judgment, it's just a not an understanding, are people who get an animal and they're never around for it. You know, the animal is outside all day or left at home all day, and then people come home, maybe have a quick bite, let the dog out for a pee, and go again. And then you've got, then they come home and sleep. And so you've got an animal that's left alone for so many hours of a day. And it's, you know, I think what people don't understand is animals get lonely too. What is your take on that?
Well, I think that before people invest in an animal, to realize that it's a long-term commitment, and to look forward into their life and check their, you know, career schedules and, you know, their kids and their plans and whatnot, that am I going to have time to incorporate an animal into my life, and will I be responsible enough to maintain this this time management for this little being? They definitely do deserve love. They definitely don't like to be alone. And it's, you know, they're so used to routine that they need someone they can rely on. Much like children, they look up to us for authority, and they need someone that gives them kindness, loveness, you know, clean clothes, food on the plate, and a lot of love. And if you have time for a lot of love, then yes, you have time for an animal.
Yes. And it is a commitment, you know. And, you know, and people do have to understand is that, you know, that they're not self-sufficient. Oh, no, they can get their supper tonight, or they can put themselves to bed tonight. You know, animals can't.
Mm-hmm.
They need that walk. They need to go and do their business. They do. And my dog, 4:30 every day, comes to me no matter what I'm doing. The chin is in my lap, and the whining is going, it's supper time, Mum. And between 4:30 and 5, if I don't get to it, the pouring, the chin, the everything, because they are a clock, completely themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, how do you feel about if people are going to be working and do want an animal, about them having another animal, you know, at least two of them where they've got company?
Yes, I highly recommend it. I mean, going back a little bit, they're permanent babies. And I had a Chihuahua for a year on his own, And even though I had three cats, I mean, the cats were off in their own world, and my little Toby Chihuahua was sleeping in the bed alone, and both of me and my husband were working full-time, and he started to gain weight, he started to get depressed, and I started looking at him like, do you need a buddy? And he's like, yeah, buddy. So we went out and we found him a buddy, and I'll never forget the day we brought home the female Chihuahua, who was a year younger than him. And he thought, oh, yeah, she's just here to play like all the other dogs, and then they go home. She's just here to visit, right? And the night when I told him, I'm like, no, she's yours. She's sleeping over. She's your sister. And I tell you, he went and he got the bone and he dropped it in front of her, and he's like, here's my bone, and you're going to sleep with me.
Welcome.
And he actually tucked her into bed. He tucked her in, and they've been like yin and yang. For 4 years, they sleep together, they chew bones together, they eat together. If I hold one and I don't hold the other, they look at me like, something wrong with you? You know, we're Siamese twins, right? So, I mean,
yes.
I think that the company that they have, even just the body warmth, and they can communicate to each other on their level, I think it's awesome. So I absolutely
I remember, yeah, I think it's an excellent idea.
Sorry.
We had a boat, you know, the same border collie, the one that saved my life, she was getting old, and, you know, we were kind of feeling that if we, you know, got another pet, it would kind of lift her up and make her, you know, feel a little rejuvenated. And I got this beautiful little black and white cat called, we were going to get Posse Plus and Minwee Minus, but we only ended up with Minwee Minus because Posse Plus didn't come. So, but she looked at this cat with the ears perked, the hair on end, stalking it as border collies do, and we thought, oh my god, you know, she's going to eat it. And it was 2 weeks in, and we had to go out, and it's like, we have to take this chance, we have to trust that they're going to, you know, be okay. We come home and we find her curled up in the chair with a grin on her face, and she had a very particular grin, and we're looking for Minwee Minus, you know Minwee Minus, where are you? And we keep hearing this tiny little cry, and all of a sudden we go up to the dog and we're hearing this meow meow, and I'm like, my god, she's eaten her alive. It was coming from the stomach, and then all of a sudden the candy just stretched open, and there's this Minwee Minus tucked into her armpit, and they were the absolute best of buddies. They chased each other up and down, and it just gave her such a new lease on life, you know. She became so protective of it, and unfortunately she got bitten by something very badly and had to be put down, but we had her for about a year. But what that year, what it did for Candy was absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Just lifted her right up and made her, you know, a young woman again. So, as you know, loneliness is a killer in humans. I think it is in animals as well. So go out and get another pet.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be the same, does it? It doesn't have to be dog, or cat. It's just having that other energy there. So it could be anything else.
Yes. Well, just to prove, I mean, I am living in an apartment with two dogs, three cats, and recently a rabbit, and yes, they all get along, and you know what, it's up to the owner, much like parents with children. Children are a byproduct of the parents. If the parents are calm, the kids are calm, and I'm very calm and healing, and all my pets, people come in, and I'm like, welcome to the zoo, admission is $2. And they all are shocked when six animals come out, and they're like, okay, we totally couldn't smell them for one, and your place is so clean, and they're so calm, and they all get along, like, what are you doing? And I thought, because they feed off me. I introduced them all fairly at the same time, and I all told them, we're all here to love each other, we're all one, and there is no choice of anything else. So I just basically showed them that there was only one way to be, and that's in love and to be coexisting together as a whole. And they all can play together. They are all left at home together by themselves, loose. Nobody's caged up or anything, and they all just respect each other. And there's moments where, yes, the dogs will chase the cats, and and the cats go running up
to
the couch and help. But they totally value each other's space, and I think that they know their boundaries.
I have another friend who's been through quite some turmoil in life. It's a real major turmoil. And, you know, you look at her life and everything that keeps going wrong, which has turned a corner now. Her domino effect is everything's going right. But, you know, you look at what has happened and you wonder how she could be so calm. And I was allergic to cats. My allergist did help me with that. But I can go into her house. And as you say, it's clean. And she has eight cats and two dogs. And I do not react. And they all come over to say hello. One of them likes to tease your hair. It licks your hair and starts brushing it with its paws. They've all got to come and say something to you and or sit in your lap, you know, make sure that their presence is known. But I think the only way that she has stayed sane through what she's been through is for the love of these animals. And they find her. They knock on the door and say, hi, I'm homeless. May I move in? And she just keeps taking them in. And, you know, well, some people, two animals is chaotic in their place. You can have 10 without, and I think 6 birds.
Wow. Yeah, well, it's very interesting, actually. Something that you just brought up made a light bulb go off to mention to the audience that when you walk in as a friend or a stranger into a home where there's animals, whether you go into a shelter or wherever, walk onto a farm with horses, for the first time, it's really cool to see how those animals greet you, and they do have something to say, and they choose to come up to a person with a message. And my animals, because they're healers, because I'm a healer, even when I do Reiki healings, they always have something to say, whether they're picking up on a person's health or that person comes into the room with a loved one who's passed away, and my dog Toby will look at me until I say, what's up? And he'll say, you know, that person has a spirit with them, and that person is their mother, and they have a message. And it's just so cool. Here are these little beings that we think, oh, it's just a dog, oh, what do they know? They have some really deep messages, and they can teach you a lot about yourself and about a lot of, you know, the friends that you want to be around or people you want to date. They say, like, if your animal likes someone, there's a reason. Just like your children. If your children like someone or they warn you, they can read. They can read energy and they know if someone is good or not.
If they don't like them, you know, pay attention.
Yes, absolutely. Listen to your animal.
Yes, exactly. You know, maybe they're trying to tell you something. Pay attention. And, you know, that's again, they're not speaking our language, but they do speak to us in so many ways. And you can watch their body reaction, and that will tell you a lot of the company. My son used to have a friend that came over, and she, you know, she loved the attention from all the friends and things like this, but she had this, he had this one friend that came over to the house, and she would go ballistic every time she saw him. And I couldn't see what was there because he was such a sweet, respectful kid. Well, you know, apparently he has taken a journey in life that has been rather self-destructive, and maybe that's what she was picking up. But they can see things that we can't, and just because they can't articulate it, we mustn't ignore it. Pay attention to it, because the truth will be revealed. Now, you're
one of the most phenomenal things. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're talking about a contract. Now, do all animals, are they all contracted to us? You know, even if people have a lot of them, I mean, do they all choose, or do we choose? Do they choose us? Is there an energetic signature that they connect to, you know, the wavelength, the frequency?
I have to believe the answer is yes, because I knew from a young age that I would be like Grizzly Adams and that I would have a collection of animals that would follow me around. And when I collected, I had 10 animals at one time, and I laughed to myself. I'm like, wow, I actually knew this would happen, and they would all follow me around. I could not walk from one side of the house without about 3 of them or 4 of them following me. And, you know, the audience doesn't understand that in the past 6 months I went through a huge change where I left my husband in May 2012. And him and I collected the 10 animals. And when I left him, we had 7 at the time. And I didn't know that I'd be alone at this point in my life. And boy, did my animals come through with a soul contract that they said, A, they were my children in previous lives. And I didn't have kids in this lifetime yet, and I'm 38. So for one is, they are my children. and they are here to replace a very big void in my life with that. Secondly, they knew that I would be alone, and they knew that he wouldn't be caring for them, and I would have to take them, and that I'd be alone, and I would need them. So coming home into an alone apartment, I had to live without them for 3 months. And the loss that I felt without them in my life was excruciating. I mean, the depression and the sadness and all that, they had to stay with him for a period of 3 months while I sorted out my life and found a place where I could take them all. The minute they came back to me, it was like people thought I was nuts for having so many animals, but each one brought something different to my healing. The cats would sit in a, I call it the trilogy, they sit around me like three cats, like a triangle, and they just hold my energy. They hold my energy, whether it's sad or happy or whatever. They do healings on me in the night. Then they sleep on me, and they sleep on my heart, and they fill me with love. And the dogs are attached to me like two little children, always making me feel loved and wanted. And absolutely, I believe in soul contracts. I don't think, even if you have a pet for a week or a month or a year or 20 years, I really think they are here to teach us a lesson, and they are here to promote us to ascension and to give us something that we possibly lost in a past life or to heal in this life. It's very complicated, but each person has their reason for attracting these animals to them. And so even if an animal is giving you stress with their health, or they're not listening, they're barking or they're chewing your furniture, there's a deeper lesson there. There's always a deeper meaning. And I think that before you give up on an animal, to really realize that there's a very special connection, why they've come into your life, and to sit with it. Because when I had my rabbit, I didn't realize they were so hard to take care of. I didn't know you had to let them out of their cages for a couple hours a day so they run. I didn't know that they poop a million poops a day. I didn't know that they required, you know, quite a high level of care. And in the 2 years that I had him, I felt many times I'm like, maybe I'm not meant to have a rabbit. Maybe I should give him to somebody else, you know. And because I, you know, we'll talk about this later, but I did. I lost him today. Looking back, had I given him up, boy, would I have had a loss. Because in the last 6 months, what that rabbit brought into my life. Mm-hmm. And you would think, a rabbit? Really?
Yeah.
A rabbit? Yeah. I'm telling you, from the smallest of birds to the largest of horses, every animal has a gift. And the purest of love and intention to bring love and light and healing into our lives. So please think very hard before you give a pet away and realize that there's more to them than just, you know, vet bills and this and that, that they are a life and they're worth saving and they're worth keeping.
And if you can't keep them because, you know, financial, something happening in your life that you cannot keep them, please do not just abandon them. If you give them to someone, make sure that that person is going to be committed to them. I know that there is a charge to drop them off at the SPCA, and sometimes it is a financial thing that people can't afford. But there will be some animal associations in your neighborhood, in your area, that you can call up and say, I have to give this animal up because I can't afford to look after it, and I don't want it to be in a kill zone. I want you to find it another home. Help me. Because they will. And, you know, it's so sad when you hear people that just take the animals to the woods and abandon them. They've been pets, they've lived in a home, they've been fed, and now you throw them out into the woods to fend for themselves. You cannot do that. That is totally immoral. And I have
serious
respect for people who harm animals. Absolutely. There is. It brings out the dark side of me completely. So, I mean, like the Christmas tooth, you know.
Yes. There's a couple of things. There's so many people that have loving hearts that even if you can't afford it or you can't house it or it's not meant to be for you, you know, you're a blessing that you've had the animal as long as you did. But there's so many people with loving hearts out there that will take your animal. Go to your local vet, talk to the vet, ask them if they know of anybody, if you could post it somewhere. I phoned one of my friends when I was thinking of maybe giving my rabbit to someone who could give it better attention and love than I could. I phoned a friend who's a vet, and she says, I'll take your rabbit. I'll even foster it for 3 months, Monica, while you get your life back into order. There's people that can help you. There are wonderful shelters out there that will take your animal. And there's people that are desperately praying for the right pet, and that pet has a place. So I do believe in the karma of the pet and its role, that it has the right person here. So never give up on them. They're little souls, and they're definitely here to have a good life as well.
And they are not here to be ignored. You know, if they're not here to be yelled at, or to take your grief. If you allow that animal and it feels trusting towards you, it will take away any grief that you have. It will help you with any anger or anything that you have, because it is so hard to be in anger when they are chasing a ball or doing something cute or rolling over with a grin. And, you know, people send me all the time, either on Facebook or emails every day, some funky little picture of an animal doing something crazy. And it starts my day off with a smile. You know, never mind my own little one. You know, it just gives you that reason to get up. There is another thing if you're facing depression. Depression puts people in bed. That's a one-way ticket down, not up. And if you have got an animal that you have to get up for and you have to take for a walk, that sense of duty and loyalty to that animal is what's going to get you back out there living in life again, because you come out of yourself and you're able to look after someone else. And in looking after that someone else, you're allowing them now to heal you, and that healing just expands. So animals are a wonderful thing. Old age homes, right? They have proven you take animals to the old age home and how much it does for them. A beautiful picture was posted of a kid in a hospital, and there's this animal that just goes around lying with children in bed that are cancer or terminal ill children. Mm-hmm. And the love that they get from them is absolutely wonderful. The only sad thing about an animal that you know is that when you do sign that contract with them, that they're not like the kids. They're going to grow up. They're going to move out. They're going to go and have families of their own. And that if nature is right, you go before they do. When you do take a pet on, there is a lifespan. And it is sad when they go, as I know that you've had your loss today with Bunnykins. And it's a big wrench for your heart being taken out there. And but what we have to look at is that for however many years they are with us, that density of love, that absolute truth and honesty that we get from them, and the feeling that every time that we think of them after that, the heart glow that we get from the memory is something that stays with us forever. So they're gifts with us for a short while, but it's a gift that keeps on giving long after they've gone.
Yes. you know, one thing I can suggest for people is just take the time with your animals now and love them as much as you can. It doesn't matter what the lifespan is of an animal. If you think they live 10 years and they're only two, take the pictures, do the videos, spend the extra time to throw that ball to them, take them more out to the park. Because here I had a rabbit that was only 2 years old, and I thought he was going to live another 8 years or 10 years or however long, you know, and was totally fine a week ago, was showing signs of some differences in the last couple of days, but I'm thinking, okay, he's young, he's fine. Took him to the vet today, totally thought I would bring him back home. Had no idea that he would go to the vet, given a okay diagnosis, maybe go home, give it some medicine, and it has a virus. And on the way home in the cage, Bunny just had a seizure, and there we have it. Died right then and there, and I freaked out. I don't think I've cried that hard. I don't even remember the last time I've cried that hard. I thought my soul was ripping out of my chest, because he was such a fundamental part of my growth in the last 6 months. And because I had thought of giving him up, and when I finally made the realization to keep him, I don't even know how to express it, other than I did treasure every moment with him, life is extremely precious, and even outside of animals, it's precious with our friends, our family.
Mm-hmm.
we have so much to be grateful in our lives. The fact that we wake up and we have our health and we have the food in our fridge. Let's just be grateful. Let's take a moment all to just count our blessings, because we are very blessed. And our animals are little angels with wings that we don't see. And I know my rabbit, Ollie, who I thought was a boy, because I bought him as a boy 2 years ago, was told to me at the vet today, because it's his first vet visit, that he was a she, a girl. So, Olivia, Miss Olivia, how strange is that? But anyways, she was an important part, and she meant every minute in my life and in her life. And when pets go away, people, I want them to understand, as an energetic practitioner who reads spirit, I can feel her on the other side. She is even more so connected to me now than she was when she was here in the physical life. So anybody who has lost a pet, my deepest condolences to you, and I totally feel your pain, as I've cried so much today, my eyes are bulging out beyond I've ever seen them bulging out to be. But I understand the grief. We have to grieve, but the spirit never dies, and energy has no time and space. And
right.
They can actually be here more for us on the other side. So they go to another phase of higher learning.
And
they are there to...
I've just a quick interjection there, that whenever I do readings or I deal with people, very, very often I will see an animal. For me, as I was saying to you, I see them on the left shoulder. And you were saying to me, it's because they're wanting to communicate and reveal a message. But I have found, you know, every animal I've had or around people, that they're there for a good period of time before they move on, because they want you to know you're okay and with you, even if they're not, if you don't feel the presence anymore, that, you know, residual energy is always there. So if you do feel something there, you know, it doesn't mean because they're not there that you can't communicate. Ask. You know, what is it you've got to tell me? And then allow yourself to be able to receive in whichever way you receive, audio, touch, visual, or whatever, because they are there to guide you still.
Yeah, and, you know, they do have their own agenda. Like, I think it hit me so hard because it wasn't my agenda, and I'm thinking to life, how dare you take him away from me or she away from me today? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't ask for this, but she has some place to go. And she had already shown me signs, and telepathically she was kind of giving me ideas, and I was in denial. I was saying, no, this can't be true because you're 2 years old and this is not going to happen. But she was already checking out, and she had already crossed the other side about 3 days ago, and she was already downloading information, and she was far off.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew it was her time to go, and it's our job to respect them when it is their time. Like many animals, farm animals, you hear they disappear, they go out, and they don't come back, and they die because they know it's time. Their organs are shutting down, and they want to die in peace, and if they thrash when they die, they don't want to be bothered. They know it's their time to go. Horses do the same thing. They go far out into a field, and they die peacefully lying in the sun, and they want to die doing what they love best.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to respect that when the animal wants to die, whether we take them to the vet and put them down, to trust that they will give us the sign, whether they stop eating, stop drinking, disappear.
Organs are shutting down,
And, you know, even an animal that runs away, I have a friend that has a cat that ran away, and she's very distraught, and she was phoning me saying, Monica, is my cat going to come back? Is he okay? You know, like, what do you think? And the cat actually gave me a very strong message that said that he always considers himself a wild cat. He's not happy being housebound. He has to go hunt. He has to go check things out, and he needs one last adventure. So he took off, and he was giving messages, I'll hang out for 3 days. We'll see how I feel. And every day that he was away, which turned into weeks and now months, every time I checked into his energy, he was saying, I'm still not ready to go back. And I had to tell her, and she said, you know what, I have healing just knowing that he's doing what he wants to do and that he's happy.
And he's safe.
If you wouldn't have told me that, she says, I wouldn't have been able to let him go. But she says, if that's what he wants, I'll let him go. And that's the cool thing, when we can understand that they have a life here as well. So Sometimes it's not up to what we want, and we have to get rid of our attachment. And animals are connected to us, but they're not really connected to the life here on Earth. So they have their own purpose, and some of them are wild, and some of them are very attached to their humans. And, you know, they got to live out their life the way they want, and we have to respect that. They're here for us, but we also have to be there for them.
Yeah.
But when it's time to say goodbye...
We are owners in the sense that we're responsible, but we don't own their being, you know. So that soul and that being is their choice.
Yeah, we're sharing a very special bond, and we're choosing to be in relationship, much like a love relationship. You're choosing to be in love with the person for a certain time, whether it's a day, a month, or a lifetime, and to just value that bond that you have. And it's a soulmate relationship, and the greatest gift that you can give your animals to be there for them from the beginning to the end. And it doesn't matter how bad or great that ending is, but to just be there for them and to love them free.
And, you know, a lot of the things that help us as we go, you know, certain vitamins, omega-3s, as they get arthritis, MSN, you know, all of these things, you can get them on. And it eases their pain. Just because they have the arthritis doesn't mean, you know, they want to give up. The walks might not be as long. They're not as agile, but you get them on some MSN and pure omega-3 and even acidophilus if they're getting old and their digestion isn't good. You know, it's not a question you're delaying the process, but what you're doing is just helping them have a better quality of life and that these nutrients and vitamins help them too. And vitamin C, when they get older, vitamin C is very good for them as well. So,
yes, and the box flower remedies are so good for animals, too. The BACH flower remedies, if people can look up that for their animals. Rescue remedy is great for stress when animals are traveling and they don't like to go into a car or a plane or go to the vet before or after a surgery to rub it on their ears, put it in their water, rub it on their paws. It's a vibrational energy medicine that's totally natural from flowers. It's so healing for them, and there's, you know, whether your animal has trauma being left alone, there's remedies box flower has for abandonment issues or fear of being alone, or nervousness and or depression, or, you know, when they're chewing something. There's all kinds of things we can do. We can use Reiki, we can use crystal healing, we can put things in their water, in their environment. They're very sensitive and they adapt very, very easily to energy shifts. To have people that do body talk sessions on their on your animals, to hire energetic healers, as well as use veterinary care when it's needed for your animals. They're emotional beings first, and so if we can treat them even before they're sick to maintain their health, don't wait till they're sick. You know, like let's do some maintenance help on the animals. Let's give them massage. Let's give them energy healing. Let's love them always, so that they can maintain this balance, because they balance us. And I think the greatest gift we can do is to maintain their balance.
So, Monica, tell everybody how they can get hold of you. And obviously, you know, you're a Reiki healer. You've got the crystals. You can help people understand their animals, and, you know, you can communicate with them. And so you can help people find out. So tell people how they can get hold of you and what program. We've only got a few minutes left, so if you want to let everybody know.
Wonderful. They can contact me through my website, which is currently under construction. So please check back at www.monicahealer.com, M-O-N-I-C-A, healer, H-E-A-L-E-R.com. So check back, because the tabs are not all working on the website, but it will be shortly. As well as they can reach me at my email at monica@monicahealer.com. And I do, because energy is transferable over the phone via internet, I can be in person or via Skype, email, phone call to tap into their animal's energy and give them some readings, ideas of what's going on with their animal and give them some helpful hints. And I'm totally in balance and proactive with, you know, the natural side of medicine as well as veterinary care. As you know, I took my animal, my little rabbit, to the vet today because it was necessary, and I believe we can use everything to help our little babies.
Yes. And, you know, I do, you know, believe very much that, you know, we are all energy. Energy is extremely powerful. We're in this fifth dimension now where everybody's energy has been risen. A lot of people are going through some things at the present moment that they don't quite understand what's going on. You know, a real shift is taking place. And our animals are picking up it up as well. You know, I had two nights ago with my dog, Kokomo, shivering the whole night long. And she was not cold. She just literally shivered the whole night long. So I just spent the night kind of just holding her and stroking her and trying to calm her down, plus the fact she was freaking me out. But, you know, trying to calm her down because they feel these shifts as well, folks. All this energy that's going on about them, they're picking up as well. And they've got to process it too. So it's not just us with all these things that are happening. It's happening to them as well. And sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming. So sometimes, as you say, just a soft stroke, a soft voice. You know, they love being stroked along from their nose up the bridge to their head. You know, it's really soothing between their eyes. So, you know, it's a lot can be done for them. But I highly recommend, folks, that you do get hold of Monica to do any form of either healing or understanding. If there's a message from your animals, she told me all about my connection with my Kokomo and picked up exactly what was wrong with her straight away. And, you know, if you want to understand what they're trying to tell you, you know, get in touch with Monica because she will help very much in you understanding what that communication is. Or if there's anything wrong, because again, if you know what there is wrong, then you know what to do right for your animal and you don't wait for it to get to be to a point, you know, that's too late.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And they definitely have a way of communicating. For you to learn how to communicate with your animals and understand what their little nuances are of shifts and changes and how they look at you. And each animal communicates differently, but anyone could learn to telepathically communicate with their animals, but just by simply asking, checking in internally, are you okay? What do you need? Is there something that you're trying to tell me? And they'll give you that feeling, whether you feel it or you know it or you hear it or you see it in their eyes. Your animal will let you know when they need help or when they have a message for you. Definitely.
Yes, well, Kokomo goes around rather embarrassingly, kind of shoving her backside in everybody's, you know, saying, come on, give me a massage, or, you know, give me some energy, because she loves a massage or energize, you know, somebody's energy over her hips where her arthritis is. So she'll just go up and say, come on, everybody, give me a rub.
Yes, animals are not afraid to ask for what they want.
Absolutely not at all. So, you know, what we've learned here today, folks, is that animals are living beings. Respect them, value them, learn to communicate with them, understand they get lonely, understand they feel your anxiety and your pain. So if you are finding that you're going through a healing process within yourself, then why don't you look to healing your animal, because that's a reflection. And in healing your animal, you will be healing yourself. Because sometimes it's easier to heal other people than it is ourselves. So bear that in mind. And I hope everybody gets hold of you, Monica. Well, we're coming to the end of the show now. And I'm very sorry about Bunny Kings. But you know what? Again, we don't know the length of time they're here. But it's that condensed passion and love and meaning of what they leave with us. That we will never forget, resonates with us forever. So your bunny most certainly will be with you for still some time to come. We have lots of lovely messages for you so, and for the rest of the world. So, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. And we need to, obviously, to have more shows on animals because animals are our heart and soul. So, again, folks, a quick message. If you see somebody abusing animal, please do not turn your head. We've got photographs and cameras on our phones today. Click a picture. Let the authorities know. I don't care if you post it on Facebook, on Twitter, or on YouTube, or anything. Nobody has the right to hurt an animal or a child, but we're talking animals today. Okay? Thank you so much, Monica.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you, Sarah.
Take care,
you too.
Next week, we're going completely different. We're going over to business. And we're going back to your personal branding and why it's so important to your business. This is very much for the solopreneur, people that are out there having small businesses themselves. It's Go Bold, Be Gutsy, and Break the Rules with Marla Thomas. So please do tune in next week. We're going to give you some valuable tips that will help your business and help you stand tall in your conviction so that other people will notice you, that you'll stand out, and they'll want to do business with you. So do tune in next week. And remember, folks, now, for all those who've got lovely furry pooches or kitty cat, anything else, go and give them a hug and some love. Speak to them. And by the way, they love to be sung to. So for all those good vibrations out there, I wish everybody a happy evening. And remember my site, choosepositiveliving.com. You've got a topic for me, let me know. God bless everybody. Have a good week.
Good vibrations.